This is Brett Musburger, and you are listening live to Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio with my main man, Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us back to the Progressive Guest Line. At Progressive, we're making things easier. We'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Stacey Joe Ross joins us, host of Seattle Sports, because yesterday the big story was Pete Carroll and his situation with the Seahawks advisory role, but out as head coach after 14 seasons. How are you, Stacey?
I'm good. How are you?
Did you read? Was there a tea leaves to read on this? This came as a shock to a lot of us, but locally, was this as shocking?
I think it was shocking that it was now. I don't think it was shocking that there was any kind of tension, maybe any seat that was heating up. There was one moment in particular that stands out, which is a bit earlier this season. It was after some other horrific loss or another one, right? Probably during that four-game stretch that they had against some of the league's best teams, when Pete Carroll sat down with our morning show host, Mike Salt, and Brock Huard. And he's normally, Pete, really wordy with all of his responses. And one of the things that I've loved covering him about a head coach is he's really jovial. He's always in a good mood. And when he's in a bad mood, he still tries. So any kind of short answer, like hearing him ever mention a player by name is weird. Hearing him ever have a short, curt answer is weird. So that's exactly what happened, right? So He's asked by one of our morning show hosts, hey, is your message getting through? And the host is asking this because, look, Pete, you've got the same problem over and over and over. Your players aren't tackling. The run defense is struggling. You've got penalty issues and discipline issues. You say you're going to fix it every week and it's not working. Is the message getting through? Are your players still hearing your message? And Pete said in full, quote, ask them next. And I was like, wow. I've never heard this from Pete before. So I don't think that was Pete being angry at players. I think it was a frustrated Pete that was probably annoyed that he was being asked about this when he felt like he was really trying and the players were really trying. He's very defensive of his players. But I also wonder a bit, as did everyone else at the time, whether it was Pete questioning it himself and wondering whether his message was getting through and wondering why it clearly wasn't. And so that really stands out to me.
At what point, I mean, this was a season where they close out with 3 out of 4 wins. They don't get into the playoffs, but there were these losses against Baltimore and San Francisco twice and Dallas where, regardless of the score or maybe how close some of those games were, that they weren't on the level of those teams that were going to be competing for the Super Bowl. At what point was there a feeling like, we're definitely not them?
God, I mean, week one against the Rams.
Yeah.
A pretty awful loss. I think it was probably the Thanksgiving game against the 49ers, I would say.
Yeah.
The Rams are a team that even with Jeff Fisher, when they were perpetually at 500, they would just find a way to beat the Seahawks. And I'm talking like beat the Seahawks Super Bowl caliber teams. Like people look at the Rams, whether or not Sean McVay is there, and they go, God, why do the Rams always beat us? I'm sure the same thing the 49ers think when they face the Rams or, you know, whatever, the Cardinals when they face guys. But, you know, those weird divisional kind of matchups that never make sense, no matter where the teams are. The 49ers are a team that the Seahawks just walloped for a minute when they were in the basement of the NFL. And there was this feeling for a while in Seattle like, oh, the rivalry's not even there anymore. Now you're going against L.A., who's, you know, on the come up under McVay. That Thanksgiving game against San Francisco, not that everyone didn't already know San Francisco is a clear Super Bowl favorite, but you had seen a weakened version, a human version of San Francisco this year. They'd lost 3 in a row. You were getting healthier. You were having an opportunity in primetime to prove what you could do, and it was never close. It was never a game. And when it's a divisional game, you know it's extra frustrating, not just because fans hate that team, but because your front office looks at that team year in and year out and says, how do we get better than them? And they clearly failed at doing that.
Stacey, I'm going to, this may sound oversimplification of this situation, but I get it that no coach has got a job for life, but I thought he won the war with Russell Wilson enough to warrant a longer stay.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. I think that a couple things changed. Jody Allen, who's the late Paul Allen's sister, is chair of the Seattle Seahawks, and she's very behind the scenes. She doesn't do press conferences. We don't hear from her. The Allen family, during the course of their ownership, has been very hands-off in general, so that was never weird. But I do wonder, as do many folks locally, whether she might be a little tougher whether her standards might be, you know, a little harder to meet, whether she might be a little more willing to part ways and be ruthless than her late brother. I don't know. That's just pure speculation, but it's kind of the sentiment that some folks around here have. And I think that Pete had earned a lot of grace, but if you really dig in and you really look at the stats of his defense, you start to see where the grace ran out. Because honestly, Pete did a lot with what he had on offense. Geno Smith and moving on from Russell Wilson isn't the reason that Pete lost his job. The reason Pete lost his job is it sounds like he lost the locker room, and it sounds like he lost his defense, and his team lost its identity, and that has nothing to do with Russell Wilson.
What does this mean, this advisory role? What is it? I mean, isn't this a firing? is he still within the organization?
Yeah. I think it's a firing. So Pete initially, when he started the press conference, and when we saw that he was doing a press conference, we were like, oh, wow, you know, this guy's out as Seahawks head coach. Maybe he's telling us what this role is going to be. And he starts out at the beginning of the press conference and he says, yeah, you know, we mutually agreed. And, you know, we thought it would be a good idea to go this way with it. And then as he goes throughout the press conference later, he says that he competed like heck to try to stay as head coach, and he fought for his guys. And it becomes obvious as you get halfway through this press conference that Pete Carroll did not want to be fired, that Pete Carroll wanted to remain head coach of the Seahawks, and that this was him basically being told by ownership, it's this or you're not here. So I wonder, Pete Carroll made it clear he wants to be head coach. He said, I'm not old, I'm young, I'm still ready, I'm still excited. I do wonder if there's another step for him outside of Seattle. I'd assume he stays here. He's got really close ties with his players, close ties locally, and he's really close with general manager John Schneider. So I do wonder if that keeps him here. But, yeah, I think everyone saw this advisory role as a way to offer the highest amount of respect possible to a coach that you were firing.
Yeah, I was in Denver when Mike Shanahan was let go, and there was a feeling like, okay, this is just a parting of brains that really respect each other, and this is not an angry firing, this is not a bitter firing, this is stand up and give him a standing ovation if you see him in a restaurant. Is that the same thing here?
It's exactly what it is. It's you're breaking up with your ex, but you're saying, you know what, even though I got this TV, I want you to have it.
Right, right.
You know, I can get another one, but like, I want to show you that there's no animosity here. That's exactly what this is. You're still breaking up. She's still leaving the apartment, but, you know, you're trying to keep it cordial.
How does the whole 14 years go? There were some good times, obviously winning a Super Bowl and getting there, but then there was also a breakup of that and then some down years. How does the whole 14 years get put into a sort of a sentence or two about what he meant to the area of Seattle?
Oh, greatest Seahawks era ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Period. One sentence. I can do it in one. I mean, I don't know how many Seahawks fans nationally there were in the 90s. I guess single digits. Like, this team was god-awful. They made one playoff appearance. And Seattle has this really tortured history. It's not quite like this Cleveland-Detroit level, certainly, but it's its own unique tortured history, which is like you get your NBA team stolen from you. Your Mariners team goes 21 years without making the playoffs and is the only team to never make it to a World Series. And then here you have your college team goes 0-12. You know, thank God they were in the Natty this year, but like just lots of sports pain. And then here you have the Seahawks, and they're awful too. They make a Super Bowl appearance. People feel like it was stolen from them, and you have this whole like East Coast bias vibe that's so alive and well. And then here you have this guy who's this like celebrity California cool dude who comes here to the Seahawks, was not especially well liked when he got here, obviously because of his USC ties. People thought he was a cheater coming out of there, and just immediately people fall in love because he is a kind of coach we hadn't seen here. I mean, this is a celebrity, this is a real coach, this is someone who I don't know how else to describe it, brought a culture of winning that the city hadn't seen for that period of time. He is not just the best Seahawks head coach, he's one of the best coaches in sports the city of Seattle's seen.
Host of Seattle Sports, Stacey Jo Ross, covering the Seahawks and the Pete Carroll News. Always appreciate your time. Thank you so much, as always.
Hey, thanks so much, Tony.
You got it. Yeah, good stuff. Look, I grew up with, Jim Zorn, Steve Largent, Chuck Knox was their head coach. But they were always, David Craig was another quarterback that they had. They were always like 7-9, 8-8. They were like middle of the pack. Like, they would make the playoffs every now and then. Some years they went like 6-10. They were always hovering in the middle. They were never terrible enough to be the Seahawks are awful, and they were never good enough to be a Super Bowl-level team. They were the middle, and that's a dangerous place. We say many times, it's a dangerous place to be. Obviously, that was eons and eons ago, but remember, he took over, as we figured out, there was Mike Holmgren, Super Bowl appearance in Super Bowl 40, then there was 1 year of Jim Mora Jr., and then there was Pete Carroll. And Pete Carroll for 14 years, and then at one point, they were the team to beat. They were the team you feared. That was the team that had everything. Offensively and defensively, they would beat you on both sides. They weren't just a strong defense and a good enough offense. They were a good offense and a really good defense, and Pete Carroll orchestrated that. But again, that's not what you're getting in New England. A coach that is parting ways. This was a firing, even though there's an advisory role to just keep him around. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.